out of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. You probably figured that one out, amen? Old-fashioned day. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. If you'll stand, please, and we'll read together one verse of Scripture this morning. Everyone standing, if you can, you can stretch your legs just a minute, and then follow us along, please. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, as for the old paths, wherein are the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now the Lord said, if you'll ask for the old paths, that's the good way. But then notice what they said. The people said, "We will not walk therein." Boy, that's sad, isn't it? The Lord said the old ways are the good ways. The people said, "Nope, we don't want that. We want something new and flashy. We want something different. We want something more contemporary, more up to date." My friend, I want to go on record and say, praise God for the old-fashioned way. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know." Can you say amen right there? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good music. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. Lord, as we come to this Sunday right before Thanksgiving, Lord, you've been so good to us. You blessed us. Lord, we're in a building this morning that protects us from the weather. And Lord, we're here this morning. We're cool in the summer. And Father, we're warm in the winter. And Father, you've been so good to us. We've got food on the table out here. And Father, we want to thank you. Oh, praise your name for all that you've done to us. You've been so good. And I pray that you might take the message today. Speak to every heart that's present. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And for his sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, ask for the old paths." God puts a premium on remembering certain things. Now, beloved, thank God that he doesn't remember our sins. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Beloved, I'm glad to tell you that everything is under the blood. When God saved us, our sins have been washed, and they're as far as the east is from the west. They're behind the back of God. They're buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. I'm glad for that. Thank God that the blood washes us pure and clean. We ought not to remember our past sins. We ought not to remember our past failures. The Bible said, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "But this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Beloved, you might have failed the Lord. You might have come up short over this last year. You might say, "Preacher, I hadn't done everything I set out to do." Beloved, you ought to just put them things behind you and say, "By the good grace of God, I'm moving forward. I'm going to just forget about the past, the failures, the disappointments, the hurts, and all that. And I'm looking forward to serving the God in the future." But beloved, there's some things that God wants us to remember. I believe the first thing I find in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, the Bible said the Philistines, they came up against the children of Israel. They had no hope. They had nothing. Beloved, they came to that place that they were looking like they were going to die, and they cried unto the Lord. I thank God for the song they just sang. Beloved, it is by faith, amen, that we serve the Lord. This is a book of faith. This is a life of faith. And beloved, listen, when you're down in that ship, looks like the waters are coming over you. It looks like you're going down for the third time. Thank God he'll come walking on the water. He'll speak peace unto your troubled soul. Israel there, they were facing the Philistines. They said, "Lord, we have no one else to turn to." And the Bible said there that God fought the battle for them. And then
Then the Bible said, the Lord said unto Samuel, I want you to go out and I want you to take a stone and I want you to erect that stone and I want you to call it the Ebenezer stone. You say, preacher, what is that? It is the stone of help in the days that are to come. He said to Samuel, he said, when these little children here this morning, when they walk by and they see that stone, and they'll say, Mama, what does that stone mean? What does that Ebenezer stone mean? Oh, then they could say, that is the place where God helped us. Amen. I'm glad to tell you, honey, that God will help you in every situation. Heal there in every need. All you got to do, as that song said, cry out to the Master. And there the Ebenezer stone. But then I find in the book of Joshua, in chapter number 4, there was a time that the Israelites had to cross over Jordan, and it was a time of the flood stages. You see, beloved, if it's something that you can do, something that I can do, God doesn't get any credit for it. Say amen. But when you reach your limit, when you've exhausted all your resources, when you have nobody else to turn to, Sister Gail, thank God, then he can step in and he'll get the glory. Amen. He'll get the praise for it. When God does it, amen, it'll be done the right way. And there those Israelites, all of a sudden the waters parted and they crossed over there and they got to the other side. The Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones. I want you to build it for a memorial. And the Bible said, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Oh, you might say, preacher, why did they do that? But I said, because when those little boys and little girls would come by and they'd see that 12 rocks piled up there at the riverbank, and they'd say, Mama, what does that mean? Oh, that's the time when we got to the edge of the river. We had no hope, we had no help, but God intervened for us, and that's a memorial. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Teach it to the generation that is to come. But then I find one other time in the Bible that God puts a premium on remembering. Over there in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Bible in the Old Testament, the Bible said, Malachi chapter number 3, listen to this. He said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know something, friend? Oh, aren't you glad to get in a service where the Spirit of God is and you can lift your hands, rejoice and praise the Lord. Look over there and say, ain't God good? Amen. Turn to somebody right now and just say, ain't God good? Hallelujah. Ain't God good? And the Bible said, you say, preacher, why? Why should we do that? God said, those that praise the Lord, those that fear the Lord, I'm putting your name down in a book. I'm putting it down in a memory book. Say amen. I want my name in that book. Y'all want your name in that book? Amen. Turn that person right beside him and say, ain't God good? Right now, amen. Y'all, come on, do that. Amen. Praise God. You know what he just did? He put down your name. He said, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serve him. I don't know about you. Listen, last night, about 8:30 or so, Brenda had our granddaughter, Aveline, and she said, you mind watching her just a minute? I'm going to go out to the shed, and we got a shed. Amen. I don't know if y'all got an outbuilding or what you got. We got a shed. And she said, I'm gonna go and try to look in the hope chest. Well, praise God. I knew it was all piled up and everything. And you know what she said? I'm looking for the dress that I made Rebecca when she was little. A little while later, here she come back in. She's wearing it today. And she's got a picture, if you see it, after church. But when Rebecca was about her size, she made that little dress and put that little dress and bonnet. We had old-fashioned day back then in the 80s. Amen. And you say, preacher, why? Oh, listen, I thank God that we've got some heritage, amen. That thank God we've got some memories. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm glad that I've got some good memories of some good men of God that stood up and preached, had a backbone like a saw log, that bellowed out and hollered out and preached the Bible just as it is to men as they are. Heaven sweet and hell hot. Hallelujah. God said, I'm putting that stuff down in my memory bank. And I thank God today for old-fashioned day. You say, preacher, why y'all want to have old-fashioned day? Many churches have a day like that. Brother Allen mentioned to me when we talked on the phone, he said this morning their church had old-fashioned day last Sunday. There are some churches that have old-fashioned day. Some people may ask, why in the world do you dress up in blue jeans, bib overhauls, and bonnets? Why do you do that thing? Because we want to remember the old-fashioned way. Can I get an amen right there? Beloved, I want to tell you something. Some of the old-fashioned ways and the old-fashioned beliefs and the old-fashioned preaching is going out. But as long as I got breath in my body, as long as I can proclaim His holy word, I want to stick to the old-fashioned way. Oh, but you say, preacher, things are changing. I had somebody tell me this week, things are changing. My friend, things are changing. Christians are changing. Many churches are changing. Many preachers are changing. But beloved, I want to stick to the old ways. Amen. I want to stick to what's been working down through the ages. And it'll work all the way through from here to glory. They call me old fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. That Jesus who lived among men long ago is divine, the Christ of God. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned. God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from heaven. Old-fashioned because at the cross I was saved. At the cross had my sins forgiven. Old-fashioned because I'm bound to do what's right, to walk in the straight and narrow way because I've given my whole life to God. Old-fashioned because I pray. Old-fashioned because I'm looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord, because I believe He's coming again, fulfilling His holy word. Oh, call me old-fashioned. That's all right. I want to preach just a little bit this morning on three simple thoughts. You say, preacher, why are you old-fashioned? The motto that I've adopted, the motto that I have on my cards, what I put on the church stationery, what I put on the banner that we hang outside sometime, we're still preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And friend, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm still preaching that blessed old book. I'm still preaching the blood of Jesus. And I'm still preaching the blessed hope. He's coming again. First of all, this morning, I'm still preaching the blessed old book. There are many new versions on the market today. But can I tell you something? I'm still sticking with the old King James. Can I get an amen right there? Beloved, I'm still sticking with what works. This is the one that Brother Harold Carey preached from when I got under conviction. This is the one that my daddy used to lead me to the Lord. This is the one that I carried through Bible's college and all through the years I've been preaching. It's the one that I've read for over 40 years. It's the one I've been preaching from for over 40 years. It's the one that gives me comfort when my life is hurting. It's the one that can soothe my troubled heart when it's breaking. Oh, beloved, it's the one that God has blessed down through the years. It's the one, by the way, that the devil hates and fights against it. I want to tell you, though, I still believe and still preach the old-fashioned book. Amen. You go in a lot of bookstores these days, and you walk up there, and you say, can I see your Bibles? You might as well take a can of alphabet set suit. Say amen. You got the ESV, the NLT, the RIV, the RSV, and NIV, and everything else in between, the XYZ. But honey, can I tell you, I'm still sticking with the old book, the old King James. It's been working all these many years. I got a feeling it's going to work all the way from here to glory. This one right here is 172 years of age. Honey, it was working back in the 1800s. It'll still work today. Amen. I don't have to walk in and say what you're reading from today, friend. If it's the old King James, hallelujah, we can put her there and we can say, thank God for the blessed old book. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. My friend, it'll defeat the demons of hell and the devils of hell. When Jesus was tempted, the Bible said, it is written. Oh, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what, everybody? Sin against thee. You know our problem today is, we'll take that book, we say, how many of you say you love your Bible? Say amen. Oh my, we need to park there for a second. You know something? I attended a Gideon's meeting some years ago, and they had this big Gideon's dinner, and the fella got up. I forget what country he was talking about. I forget what country he was mentioning. But in the whole tribe where they were talking about, they had one Bible. And they had gone through meticulously and separated every page. And you know what they do? They would take and pass out a page to this person and a page to that person. And then they'd pass, they didn't have but one Bible. And they pass it all around. And when they got finished that reading, that one page, they'd go get somebody else's page. Oh, but my friend, here in America, I dare to say that most of us have got four or five Bibles. Some of you probably got one in the back seat of your car, been laying there since last Sunday, and the sun's done curled up the pages. Say amen. Oh, me. Oh, what a blessed old book. It's food for the soul. It's strength. It's like food to a hungry man. Amen. We ought to love it. It's a powerful book, friend. It'll knock the devil and the demons of hell right off their feet, friend. It'll knock all the sin out of your life. Either one thing is true. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. We ought to love that old book. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Amen. It's a powerful book. It is a prophetic book. I don't have to buy tomorrow's newspaper to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. You know why? Because I've read over here in the book of Revelation exactly what's going to happen. I believe he's going to sound the trumpet one day. I believe the Lord's coming back one day. I believe the church of the living God's going out one day. I believe that the Antichrist is coming here. I believe this world's going to be in a 7-year tribulation. Then he's going to come back. He's going to come around on a white horse. He's going to have a sword come out of his mouth. Armies of the world are going to be slain. Hallelujah. And thank God he's going to set up his kingdom, reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And then thank God, John said, it's all new heaven, new earth coming down from God. You say, preacher, where'd you find that at? Some fairy tale? No, sir, the blessed old book. It's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It's more up to date than CNN. It's more up to date than any news broadcast. The blessed old book. It's a powerful book, a prophetic book, but it is a personal book. It tells me of him who bled and died for me. It tells me of him that went to the cross of Calvary. Oh, it's a blessed book. It's a powerful book. It's a prophetic book. It's a personal book. But you know what? A lot of people don't read that book. You know what I've heard, Brother Allen, some folks say, well, you know, preacher, it's just hard for me to understand you know, that old kind of English and stuff like that. I just don't understand it. And I just think I just don't. In fact, if I could get something that I could understand more, kind of like a storybook, you know, something like a story type book, I believe I could understand it better. Hey, the Bible said, "For the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're what? Spiritually discerned." Boy, she got quiet on that one. How many of you like the old King James? Say amen. Our church next year, praise God, Brother Allen, in 2014, she'll be here 25 years. And I haven't been there here that long. I may look like I've run hard, put up wits, amen. But for 25 years, and she's been preaching the old King James, amen. And thank God for an old-fashioned book. Oh, listen, we ought to love that book this morning. I want our children and grandchildren to know, this is a blessed old book. Preacher came to see a family one time, walked in, sat down, and they didn't know he's a coming, and so they wanted to try to impress the preacher. He sat down there in the living room. Little Johnny was there, and their little boy, and they looked at little Johnny, and they said, "Honey, run there to the bedroom and get that book that your mom and daddy read all the time, that book that we love all the time." Little Johnny went in the bedroom a few minutes later. He come back, he had Sears and Roebuck catalog. Say amen. But ain't that the truth? If we'd spend as much time in the faith book as we did on Facebook, we'd be a whole lot better. Say amen. Woo, it done hit another nerve. My friend, this book here, this is a book that God has blessed. It is a book that's been birthed. It is a book, my friend, that the God of this Bible is revealed through, and His Son is revealed, and the Holy Ghost of God speaks through that book. We ought to read that book. Number two, I'm still preaching not only the book, but I'm preaching the blood. You say, "Why, preacher? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And the age that we're living in this world that we're living in, there are preachers and churches trying to convert people without the blood. They'll say, "Sign the card." They'll say, "Get baptized." They'll say, "Put money in the plate." It don't matter what you believe or why, how you believe it. Just come on, we've got something going here. My friend, it's by the blood. It has always been by the blood and always will be by the blood. Say amen. It was in the blood in the Garden of Eden when God killed an innocent animal, skinned that animal, put around Adam and Eve and covered their nakedness. It'll be the blood all the way through the book of Revelation. For the Bible says in Revelation 7, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come thou? And he said, Sir, thou knowest, these are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It's been the blood, always will be the blood, always the blood. I want our kids, our grandchildren to know it's only by the blood that we're saved. Amen. And then also, I'm still preaching the blessed hope. I believe this, that the Bible teaches us that He's coming back again. Y'all believe that? Say amen. "Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky." I believe He's coming again. I still believe He's coming in. I know there are those today that don't preach on the rapture anymore. I could call some preachers by name. I won't do it from the pulpit. But there are some preachers that I know, they used to preach that Jesus was coming again. Their church used to believe that He was coming again. Oh, but now they don't believe that anymore. Now they don't preach that anymore. My friend, can I tell you something? That number one, I know he's coming again because he said he's coming again. John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I've got his word on it. I've got the word of the angelic beings on it. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heavens? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." I've got the word of Paul on it. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then, thank God, the living shall be changed, and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord." I've got the word of God on it. He will come again. He's coming again. I've got Paul's word. I've got the early church believe he's coming back. I still believe he's coming one of these days to take his bride out of here. I want our children, our grandchildren to know. Thank God, the blessed hope. I Lord willing, if God lets me live to my birthday, I'll be 59 years old. I never thought I'd be. Listen, y'all ever get this way? Praise God, 60's looking awful young to me right now. I used to think 60 was old. I don't think it's too old right now, amen? But I tell you what, if I go by the way of the grave, then I want my grandchildren to know he's coming again. I want your grandchildren to know he's coming again. I want to close with this. There is but one real religion, and that redeems a sinner's soul. It's as timeless as the ages, and it'll never grow old. My Lord Jesus, he's the power. I am the way, the truth, the life, and the way has never changed since he spoke the words out loud. My religion's not old-fashioned, but it's real, genuine. Two and two make four today as it did in my Lord's time. Modern day won't make a difference that you can't follow through the time. My religion's not old-fashioned, but it's real, genuine. In this world of wild confusion, we're often led astray when we hear the word old-fashioned as men speak of God today. My Lord doesn't deal in fashion. He's more timeless than the seas, and his words still hold the power as they did in Galilee. My religion's not old-fashioned, but it's real, genuine. Two and two make four today as it did in my Lord's time. Modern days won't make a difference. You can't follow through the time. My religion's not old-fashioned. It's real, genuine. Some are prone to yank the Bible and absurd the words of Christ. They admit that he came here once, but he'll never make it twice. Don't attempt the Bible's prophecy as such men rule their lives. There is darkness in their future, but there's life in Jesus Christ. My religion's not old-fashioned, but it's real, genuine. Two and two make four today, as it did in my Lord's time. Modern days won't make a difference. You can't follow through the time. My religion's not old-fashioned, but it's real. It's genuine. Amen? You say, why do y'all have old-fashioned day, preacher? Why, you need to move up. This is 2013. You need to get on board with the signs of the times. You need to kind of get things up to date. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the older we get, the things that are of most value are those old things? You go and you see some of these, they call them vintage. Praise God, we've got some vintage people in here this morning. Amen. But you see these car shows, and my goodness, they go by and they've got some cars, Brother Rodney, that you and I used to drive, and they call them vintage, and they got a high price tag on them. You know why? Because they say they don't make them like they used to. Boy, I want to tell you something. You can call me a little old-fashioned, but I'm sticking
with what works. I like the old-fashioned way. Do you? Do you? Can you say, preacher, I have been saved in the old-fashioned way. I've been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved. Thank God for the old-fashioned book. Thank God for the blood and for the blessed hope He's coming again. Let us pray. Heads bowed. Miss Joanne, Miss Bonnie, could y'all come? Play the little chorus for me. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Perhaps your faith has grown weak and weary. Perhaps this morning the Spirit of God has dealt with your heart. Maybe you haven't read your Bible since last Sunday or a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Maybe this morning you say, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through, what I'm facing. Can I tell you, the God that made you and the God that fashioned you knows exactly where you're at, what you're going through, what you're going to face. He knows your physical limitations. He knows all about you today. Maybe this morning you say, preacher, I've got a need in my life that only God could meet. Remember me as you pray this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you've got a need in your life that only God can meet, would you lift that hand, please, across this room? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Preacher, I've got a need in my life that only God can meet. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Anyone else? Stand to your feet, please. Our Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you'd hear us today, Lord, as we cry out to you. May the Spirit of God be with every heart now. Lord, we'll rejoice in what you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. While we sing this little chorus together, if you feel the need, if you feel the tug of God on your heart, you come obey the Spirit of God today. As we sing, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. One more, would you? There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. No millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Amen. Look this way just a minute. Let me have four ushers, please, that will receive a love offering for our guests this morning. And how many of you would like for them to come back? Amen. Well, then you need to give a good offering. Amen. We want them to come back, and we don't want them to go away from here thinking that we just had them to come to sing and we didn't want to help them out. Amen. So I want you to give and give a good offering this morning. And every what you put in this plate will go toward the Freemans, help them down their road. And they're from Albemarle, about an hour and a half away. And so you pray about this, all right? Ask God what He'd have you do. Brother Josh, you lead us in prayer, please. Mr. Wynn, this old